He stood there screaming. There was no sound coming out from his mouth. His jaws just unnaturally elongated.
Do you think that this was truly the classic old man haunting?
When you walk in the house, the living room was dark. Then there's this grandma and the maid sitting at the balcony there.
Between the rational and the haunting, you know, something about the atmosphere of the place. And this home has now become a portal for entities to travel between worlds freely.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural Confessions is a safe space for anyone who have had a paranormal encounter and want to be able to tell their story to a community who will not ridicule them. Some of us have experienced the unexplainable ourselves, while the rest of us simply enjoy listening to ghost stories. If you or someone you know have had an encounter to share, get in touch with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Buyers beware, house is haunted. That's not a disclaimer you're going to hear when buying a new home. This episode will bring you confessions from homeowners who had to deal with hauntings in the place they call their home. And it isn't just the old second-hand houses that are haunted. Our guest today is a property agent whose own home was haunted by the spirit of an old man. What does he have to say about selling haunted houses to his clients? Is he obliged to tell? All this and more on this podcast episode of Buyers Beware, House is Haunted, only on Supernatural Confessions. Enjoy. My mother was a tailor.
Oh, God. Okay.
Good
SC's
Friday.
Got talent. Yeah. SC's got talent.
Good
okay.
Friday evening, everybody. I hope you guys are... you know, you guys have missed us. My name is Eugene Tay.
I'm Jonathan Lim.
And we are your hosts for Friday Night Live this season. And those of you who have got in early, the bonus is my singing lah.
For what it's worth, yeah.
you know what's the thing about the singing, right? Because I know I'm such a terrible singer, but I'd like what I mentioned in the previous episode, right? I only sing in the toilet. But I thought, hey, you know what? I got... early people coming in. They are captive audience.
So okay. We become your toilet. Basically, that's what you're saying.
Hey, but right? You know, I know I got one fan. One. Elaine Chua. Oh, I was talking to her on the phone the other day. She says, Eugene, you can sing what? And you know, Elaine Chua is a vocal coach, okay? Vocal coach say I can sing, means I got hope.
Wow, Elaine Chua, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, lots of people here today. I have no idea who was first. I don't know who was first.
Frankie was first.
Hello, Frankie.
Yeah. Then Miss P was second.
Miss P was second. Okay, good.
Yes. Oh, Anna Chia. Hi, Eugene and John. This is the first time I'm watching live. Welcome to the live show.
Anyone who is new today, welcome. Give us a shout out, especially if you're watching from overseas. We'd like to know how far around the world we are going.
I know, tonight. I got the Philippines just now.
Huh? Is it?
Yeah,
who's in the Philippines today?
I lost the name, we just scrolled up above. Yes, but I think, kumusta, I think that's how you greet hello in Philippines.
Pixel Gun Boy, that sounds new to me.
That's new?
Yeah, Pixel Gun Boy, is that your first time? Say hello. Ernest Doe? Oh, Ernest
Hello
Doe,
I've
seen
ever,
before.
Yeah.
Okay.
KK Heng new, I think. I don't recognize that name.
Yeah, never heard before. Yeah. Where's my Carlos Cole?
Navinet, first time here this week. Hi, Vic. Hi, guys.
Nice. Oh, Paris, Maitreya. Just woke up here.
The name that always change here, change there. One. I don't know. don't want to call him tomorrow. He's like the artist previously called Prince.
Oh, we have two Navin. Now there's a Navin Tilakan. Hello, Navin Tilakan.
Oh, hello. Battle of the Navins.
Oh, okay. Rachel from Perth. Rach.
Hi, Rach.
Okay, nice.
5 hours away. Good day, mate. Brian Damon.
Okay.
Sean Lim.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of new names. Like, okay, there's a James here. First time managing to catch you all. That's
hello,
really
James.
Nice. Thank you. Hello. Who is... Okay, L
Sleepy
I know. Who's Lusu79? Hello, Lusu79.
don't recall that one. Lusu Sanina.
Yeah. Oh, it's not James. It's Jomes. Is it Jomes or Jomez?
You also need to wear specs. Eh?
Huh? Jomes. I'm wearing specs. Lah. I need to wear double specs. I'm so poor thing. Okay. Everyone says it's Jackie Chan with Jonathan. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Michelle Yeoh was not free. So you got Jackie Chan.
Donnie Darwin AJC is here as well.
Okay. Lisa Marie is cooking breakfast while watching us. So where are you? Where's Lisa
She's
Marie?
She's from Florida, I think.
Florida.
Right, Lisa Marie, Florida, I think.
All right.
Kanje is in Philippines.
Nice.
Maureen. I like
Joey Pei, tuning in from my imagination.
Wee.
Okay, well done.
Jerome.
Okay, la.
Yeah. Ariel, early today.
All the locals who came early were all complaining about rental. Straight away, because that's the topic
that's
of the day.
That's a scarier part of the story.
Yeah, I don't think tonight is going to be about the supernatural. It's going to be about the horrifying prices of real estate in Singapore. Wow, first donation.
Oh, wow, thank you, Frankie.
He's trying to beat Elaine. Okay, that's the new contest, isn't it?
Okay. I mean, speaking of this, I might as well just talk about it right now. John,
yeah,
what do you think?
Why not? Why not? Yeah.
Okay, I want to say a big thank you first to our Patreons. We cannot be doing this without them. We have Alsatian. Alsatian, Adrian Chua Elaine, Umko Grimm. All right, Sentience, thank you very much for your big donations. Also, we have Deborah Confield, Chia King To, Joel Goh, Karina J. Under the Souls tier, we have Kenny Chia, Grace Chai, Linda Hayden, Ron Tan, Teo Si Chie, Jack Ong, Kenny Ng is new this week. Also with ZP Matt, who wants to make a contribution as a patron, but somehow her account got rejected by Patreon. I'm not sure why. We'll figure that out.
You cannot launder your money through Supernatural Confessions, unfortunately. Okay.
And for those of you who are thinking, you know, I think being a patron is too much of a commitment. You know, every month you have to do that. I already have to pay for Netflix, Spotify, now still pay you guys. And you know what? You can always hit that dollar sign below. There's something called the super chat. And usually comments really go up fast and furious. And like last week, we had somebody who wanted to really ask a burning question, and we had a good discussion about it. So one way to get our attention is to put in a super chat, I think you put in some money in there, and then you pop up like what happened to Frankie. And we all get to see it straight away in our faces. So that's something you can consider if you have something you really want to ask us. Consider the super chat. If not, feel free to make your donations, because every cent goes a long way, and we do make good with the money. Really. And we are excited just for you to be here, but even more excited that we can grow, do more content. And I want to surprise you guys with something. John, this is new for you as well.
You're releasing an album.
Wow. One day. I am
tell us.
A new podcast series.
Ooh.
Called Supernatural Confessions Urban Legends.
Nice.
2 days ago, I had Ichi Backside. I had a lot of urban legends to talk about. And I was feeling like what a lot of the confessors have said. Hey, Eugene, you know, most of us are forgetting a lot of the stories. That was actually inspired from last Friday when we were talking about all the hantus. Right? And they said, why don't you do a documentary or an archive of all the old hantus? Or all the old urban legends that people have forgotten, like the red house, the blue house, the yellow house, white, you know, things that modern generation would have forgotten. Because back in the 90s and the early 2000s, there's no Facebook, no YouTube yet. So a lot of these stories were not documented. And
that's
into that.
Very true.
And bring you guys urban legend series every Wednesday, 10 minutes long, easy to digest.
Actually, that's true. Huh? It's a very important part of our culture, you know, and it's amazing how quickly we forget. Huh? All the stuff that my mom told me, you know, if no one triggers them, they'll disappear also. So good job. Please do so.
Yeah. So,
and everyone out there, please support, okay?
Yeah. So you realize that actually this is the community, it's community-driven initiative. You guys want something, I feel that I can deliver, and we'll make it happen. Well, thank you, Diaz.
We're like only fans for the supernatural, okay? That's
Olivia.com.
No, I came up with one. It's only phantoms.
Okay. Let's squat on that domain first.
Yes, thank you, Diaz, for that donation. Yay! Okay, it's a good start. Okay, I just saw a comment which I must say thank you. So LWJ, hi, said, managed to borrow a copy of my book from NLB. It's really good. Thank you very much. I'm amazed that they still have a copy. I think the copies of the book are really rare now.
Yeah.
So, wow. Okay, thank you. Yes, please tell us what you liked about it. There may be news about a reprint of the book coming. I don't know. Not confirmed yet, but we're going to talk about it. So, yeah. Yay. Okay, so excited.
Jenny James is also from Florida.
Hello. Wow, hello. So much of Florida here. Okay.
Yeah. Sunny side of the world. Okay, what's the title of the book? It's called... Okay, I'm going to get this right this time, John.
Between
Gods and Ghosts.
Not bad. Not bad. It's not the full title, but okay, that's enough. Actually, it was supposed to be part of a series, right? And the series was called Our Supernatural Skyline. And it was trying to talk about the Chinese, then the Malay, you know, like that. So, but I stopped that book one.
The series title is Supernatural Skyline, lah.
Yeah, Supernatural Skyline. So book one, Between Gods and Ghosts, is all about the Chinese supernatural, you know. But yeah, if we re-release it, then I will have more motivation to work on book two.
Okay. I also released book one, Supernatural Confessions, Volume 1, called You're Not Alone. Now, volume 2 is coming out. It's called To the Grave. I got a title already.
Nice.
Okay. Nice.
All right, man. So there's lots and lots and lots of literature coming out from here. Okay. And look out for the Urban Legends. What's the name of the Urban Legends podcast?
Urban Legends.
Oh, that's original.
Easy to search, lah. People search Urban Legends, they find us.
Okay, that's true.
It'll be too creative, but people cannot find us, you know.
My preferred title will be My Mother Say One.
Then you find Organic Search 2. Jonathan and Eugene search himself.
Okay, so what's this week's big topic?
Okay, this week's big topic is on property, haunted houses. Actually, John, this topic I'm writing about, there's tons of content going in. Haunted houses is like one of the staple. But I chose two stories that I felt were really, really solid. They were each of them unique in their own right. So not a duplicate of how we're going to dissect them.
Very different. Very different. Yeah.
The first one has a nice classic taste. And because I also met the person before, and I went to the house lah. I went to see the house. It's an old place in Aukang, actually, near Aukang CC.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And the second story is about Punggol.
Punggol.
BTO.
Right.
So one is a resale flat, the next one is a BTO. Along the way, I might share a few stories that people have told me about Yishun and other Tampines houses. If we start talking about haunted houses, this show will be till 3 a.m. Okay, so cannot.
Never mind. It's the first of many. Okay, Okay, Alwin Sensei is saying Eugene came out of focus. Is it true? I can't tell.
I don't know. We got
you out of focus?
Yeah, okay. I got to turn off some of the function. I tried tweaking it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're a little less... Okay, yeah. But I can see.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Shall we? Come, Aukang.
So, which one? Oh, mine first, huh?
Yes.
The Aukang one. Okay. I'm going to go with... This one is called The Grumpy Housemate in Confession by Carl. As my parents got on in age, I moved back to Singapore to be closer to them. My dad was suffering from diabetes, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. My mom tried to make him eat right, but dad is a stubborn man who loves his drinks and soba. My younger sister was already married with two kids, so it was up to me to take care of my parents. My family wasn't very rich, but my dad had worked very hard during those years as a taxi driver and paid for my university fees. I stayed on in Perth after graduating and worked there for most of my adult life. My sister stayed with them till she moved out in her late 20s, and I feel obligated and responsible to take over the duties now. So, the first thing I did was to find a resale flat near my folks. As it turned out, there was an empty unit opposite my parents' flat. It has been vacant for years. I couldn't believe my luck. The location was perfect. From my parents' living room, it's in direct line of sight to the other unit. I took it that the universe was reserving this unit for me. It didn't occur to me then why no one wanted to buy or rent that unit. I had to find out for myself. I got in touch with the agent, who was surprised I inquired specifically about this unit, and even more surprised that I was keen to close the purchase. But she told me to slow down first and go and take a look at the place. So I met her the next day and went down to look at the place. The interior decor was very dated. Marble flooring and yellowed cornices. I was already thinking how much hacking I have to do and the cost involved. But still, the location is really hard to give up on. The agent was less enthusiastic about the sale than I was, but we eventually closed the deal anyway. I asked belatedly about the previous owner and why they didn't try to sell the place. The agent told me that this unit had switched hands many times. The last owners, a retired couple, has moved over to JB to live. They put the unit out for rent, but it's probably due to the lack of amenities or nearby MRT station that made this place unattractive for rental tenants. It sounded very logical, so I bought that. After doing the necessary paperwork for purchase and about a month of renovation work, I was finally ready to move my belongings into the new home. The next day, when I got to the house, the place smelled rank and musky. But I couldn't find the source. I blame it on the old piping and probably the cheap paint that the contractor used to save costs. My night lamp, which I placed by the side of the table, was now lying in a heap of broken pieces in the other end of the room. The fresh coat of white paint had turned yellow, and the stains were starting to show through some of the places. The contractor had hell for me that day. That night when I was sleeping, I dreamt of an old man standing at the doorway of my room. He stood there screaming. There was no sound coming out from his mouth. His jaws just unnaturally elongated. In my dream, I kept asking it to get out. But the more I yelled at it, the angrier it got. That's all there is to that dream. I don't remember head or tail. Just this part of the dream. But every night after that day, I had the same dream. Each time, the old man got closer and closer. Eventually, by the end of the second week, I would wake up in my dream to find the old man standing over me, strangling me. Despite my best efforts, the paint wasn't sticking to the wall. Patches of yellow would still seep through. I used a primer, I used two layers of undercoat, nothing worked. My initial excitement was now replaced with annoyance. I bumped into my next door neighbor in the lift on my way home one evening, and we got to chatting. Boone had been staying there for about 30 years. "How's the house?" Boone asked. "That's the first thing everyone asks me when they see me," I replied. "Just now I was at the mama shop downstairs, and the shopkeeper asked me the same question." So Boone went on to tell me about the rumors he had heard about the place and how everyone in the block knew about it, and he just wanted to know if the rumors were true. I asked him what rumors were they, and he said that there's the spirit of the previous owner many years ago that wouldn't leave the place. In fact, sometimes you can even smell the stale cigarette smell when he's not around. Then it all started to click. The dreams, the smell. Fuck lah, my house was haunted. Through a common friend, I managed to invite a Buddhist sufu to help me cleanse the place. He didn't come alone. He had a handful of assistants to help with the preparations and the chanting of mantras. The candle flames kept going off despite the windows being all closed and the room was stuffy as hell. And then I saw this with my own eyes. The food offerings were scattered and a packet of drinks just burst open. Seriously, guys, I wouldn't have believed it if someone had told me, but this happened right before my eyes. The shifu said that the spirit had rejected offerings. No shit, Sherlock. The shifu said it was enough for the day and he would come back again the following night. That night, I stayed at my parents' place, and from there, I saw my room light turning on by itself and then turning off again. This kept on going at different intervals till about 1 a.m. After a few more sessions of the cleansing, the shifu said that he managed to negotiate a peace treaty with the spirit of the home. I'm advised to play mantra throughout the day when I'm not at home and to gift, I'm advised to play mantra throughout the day when I'm not at home and to gift the spirit with compassion and merits. Seeing not much of a choice here, I did as the shifu advised. Eventually, the haunting got less and less until about a year later, I had one final dream of the old man. This time, there was no angry yelling. He just smiled at me and patted me on my chest. I knew then that his spirit had moved on, and part of me was sad. We had been housemates for over a year, but I'm also glad he's no longer stuck. That weekend, my unit number came out first prize. But unfortunately, I didn't buy the number lah.
Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast.
If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show.
Oh dear.
Carl was a very engaging storyteller. I was very entertained with his story.
I think the saddest part of all is I didn't buy the number. I think it's very important to all the spirits out there, please send your messages clearly. If you want to give us a good luck blessing, please inform us what to do. Mm. Okay, otherwise, we will not remember to buy. Okay. Yeah. So, wow. Okay. So, this is truly a classic story, right? It's got the old man with the elongated jaw, strangling in bed, you know, offerings being rejected. I love that part, right? You know, I wanted to ask whether he wrote pineapple or not.
He did. I asked him. He didn't, because he don't know all this tradition.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So he just moved in only. No pantang, nothing. Just moved in only.
Okay. Wow. So this is a person who spent most of his time in Perth.
Yeah.
Right. And only moved back to Singapore to look after his parents. Right. Mm. So it there's also the whole culture shock of shifting, not just shifting house, but shifting country.
Mm.
Right. And also, I assume, changing job, everything. Right.
Mm.
So it's a time of great upheaval, lah, right? Which I think would make a person a lot more susceptible to things.
Mm.
Right. If anything. Right. You know. So what do you think is going on? Do you think that this was truly the classic old man haunting? Or do you think that there's possibly contributing factors?
Just based on the story as a standalone,
yeah.
Even the neighbors knew about it. People bought the place, they shifted out, no one wanted to rent it.
Mm.
I think that old man is not just a mere imagination of stress-related imagination.
Mm.
If it was, if you just moved in, there was no prior history, no other haunting, and then he start thinking of haunting, then maybe he's stress related, or maybe he brought something. He never pantang, he never roll pineapple, then something is there, right? But this one seems to me like it's a perennial thing. The uncle has been there. Of course, he said it was too long to trace back because too many owners in between. Don't know who was it, but there was an old man who smoked a lot, who's a chain smoker, and he died . He died there, but this died, whether old age or through mysterious circumstances, it was not known. But I can imagine you die there, your spirit stuck there because you very much in love with the place and you don't want to go. And then everybody who comes in, because you as a spirit form, you're probably grumpy in real life and grumpy in death. I imagine this uncle sitting there, like, you know, very, very grumpy, right?
So he's Oscar the Grouch.
So he's just either A, he doesn't know that he has to move on. Or B, he's just so stuck to the mortal world that he just didn't want to go. He likes his place. And then people come in, he's obviously throwing things around and making. He's quite powerful, though, for it to...
Yeah, he's remarkably violent.
Mm.
And there's no, like, slow escalation of hunting. Very early, first day, he throw lamp, whatever, you know.
Yeah. So I think that's another topic we can talk about in this dissection as well, is what kind of entity is this man? Or does spirit get stronger as they stay longer on Earth, or gets weaker? I think that's a very interesting conversation. Of course, I don't have the answer. My hypothesis is that old man may, from the story alone, doesn't sound like a demon. But his abilities is almost in tandem with demonic poltergeist activities in
homes. Okay, I mean, if you think about territorialism, with spirits and all that, right? You know, this is a guy who, you know, like someone in our chat, Sleepyhead, just now, right? He joked that, you know, he's the ghost who's been living there for 200 years, right? You know, and if you have been in this house for the longest time and it's your place and you are so adamant about it, even your, you know, neighborhood gods, guardian spirits, all that, really don't have as much power to move you on because your attachment gives you the power, right? You know, it's not that easy. And the longer the attachment continues, the deeper your roots become.
Yeah.
Right. So I think the power comes from that sense of attachment.
The love, the attachment.
Or even obsession. If you're obsessed with not giving up this place, that because we do, the Chinese believe, and I think many Asian cultures believe, that obsession is what brings, what traps the spirits. Right? Obsession with gambling, obsession with sex, obsession with money, obsession with a person. Mm. Right? These are the things that in Western terms is the unfinished business. Right? When you have an obsession, you will always have an unfinished business.
Like that, I know what kind of ghost I will be, lah.
Oh no, the one that sings.
No lah. What kind of kui I'll be? I'll be the sir kui.
Oh, I see. Okay. Watch out, everyone. Watch out, everyone. Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay, so do tell us what you think, guys. Share your thoughts here, all right? Straight away already, yeah, you hum some ghost.
But I think let's hear from our, shall we hear from our property agent guest what he thinks?
Ah, okay, so we do have a special guest for you today, in case you thought it was just going to be two of us, all right? Our special guest is supremely qualified to talk about these type of things. Supremely qualified, but also qualified to talk about many other things. So after we talk about this, we will sort of probe him deeper and
probe
deeper.
Him, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Today, all about probe.
I'm not the only circuit here. Okay, all let's right, bring
so
on.
Introduce him.
Justus Au. Justus Au is a property agent by day. And
what is he by night?
I think he's an ordained monk. Practice, but I don't know if he's still practicing or not. But let's bring on Chia Hao, also known as Justus Au.
Are you seriously an ordained monk by night?
No, by night, no. Already no more ordained.
Okay.
Came back already.
Oh, yeah. can be unordained one, huh? I see. Okay. All right. So, okay, tell us a little bit about your real estate or property background. How long have you been doing this?
I've been property for about 2 years, practicing. But prior to that, I was doing property, but helping other people.
So, you heard the story, yeah? That Eugene shared just now.
Yeah.
What is your take on that story?
Maybe what you all say is, from Perth, come back, then... How do I put it to you, like change of environment, the whole thing. Maybe it's that, or maybe it is really something there. Because to be honest, how can it just burst out of nowhere? But then the negotiation part, I was like, quite interesting.
Yang Lei, we asked him, he asked us back, you know.
You are a classic sitting on the fence. Okay, well done.
Sometimes don't say too much later, the uncle come find me. Because I also got one uncle.
But it's true. No, okay. So, before I definitely want to hear about uncle, but before we go there, right? No, okay. So it is tempting to break this story down into its component phenomena, right? You know, the paint issue is a paint issue, right? You know, and I find it also hard to believe why the uncle will make it hard to paint his house. You know, that's a little bit sort of not clear, you know, as a choice of haunting. Right, the lamp could have been broken by the contractor. That was what he thought first, right? You know, and the dreams, you know, of the strangling and the, you know, old man getting closer. That is classic sleep paralysis, right? In a new house, in a new country, somewhere in an old house which probably has atmosphere, and it's kind of spooking you out, right? You know, it's very easy to imagine a threatening presence, etc., and then in your dreams it takes form. Right, so it could be possible, you know, taken apart, it could be possible. The only part that's really hard to explain is the exploding offerings. That one, I think, is wow. That one drama, yeah. You know.
I give a 2 cents regarding she's saying that the light on and off,
That happened
in my old house, my parents' house.
But
that is because of LED,
as in
the LED light.
Connection issue. I mean, just now as we were preparing for the show, you saw my lights go on and off. Yeah. Also.
But hantu lah, right? Your house, John.
Of course.
You know, like we do Friday Night Live, you always attract all the hantu around us on what?
So who knows? Who knows, right? There are reasons. But I mean, and also this is a point for the para hantu to come in. Someone mentioned para hantu just in the chat. Okay, I missed it, but shout out to you. So para hantu, for those who don't know, is our this season's term for when the haunting has a scientific sort of angle to it, right? You know, whether it's like spirits affecting electromagnetic forces or electrical forces, things like that, right? So it is quite possible that there is an overlap between the rational and the haunting. You know, something about the atmosphere of the place can be causing problems with the electricity. You know, something about the atmosphere can be causing perhaps moisture or something in the walls so that the pain cannot be retained. So there's a possibility of parahantu explanations here.
Sean asked a question. Why do people still stay in a house if it's haunted? I can tell you this. If my house is haunted today, I really don't know where to go to. Because I'm still paying mortgage and everything. It's not like I could sell this now and move somewhere else. I would have to fight the ghost and go like, God damn it, this is my place. You know, it's either it ain't big enough for the two of us. So if you look at some of the old, the horror shows in Hollywood, right? They always settle one thing at the start. The family has no money. They move into this place because it's inheritance, or they move in because they need to downsize or something because money is an issue. Once money is an issue, you're stuck with a haunted property. You cannot leave.
Correct. I mean, I'm sure there are many people who once they kena haunting, then they zao because they got either lots of money to spare or they're just renting. Right?
Are renting, but then you just fine.
But for most people trying to start a family, set up home, whatever, right? That's the tricky part, right? That's the tricky part, you know. I want to mention a story just now that popped up in the chat. So Lisa Marie Scadding, who is not in Florida, she's in Vermont, right? Pointed out that when she moved into her current house in Vermont, she heard a male voice that said, hello.
Quite polite, what, the ghost.
I want to know what else he said after hello. But please
share
with us.
Hey, how you doing?
Please share with us if anything else happened, or was it just hello and then ignore you forever after that? Right. Please
ghost you.
Ghosted by ghost. Oh no, that's even sadder.
Okay. And there's the Rye WL. I don't know if this is Rye WL's name as the related to RY. There's also a RY user, right? Rye. This is Ryle.
Real.
Okay. Lived in a haunted house. It was an interim option before we got our family flat. Previous owners could not get their new condo in time. Then you tell me like that, you don't tell me the whole story. You blue balls me, you know, right?
Okay, Ariel also, my house haunted. Found an old lady and a young girl at my laundry. Ayo.
Are they doing your laundry for you? Because I wouldn't mind.
Then it's okay. If they're just at your laundry, then that's a bit spooky. No, then it's your washing machine that's haunted, lah. It's not your house is haunted, it's your washing machine haunted. Okay, so buy a new washing machine and then we see how. Okay? Wow.
This is Grace. So, there's also one more comment. RSVP by Grace. Grace wants to know that you guys know that she's the wife. Cannot just call her RSVP by Grace, must say the wife. don't know. Okay, what's so that's the wife, guys. RSVP by Grace. My other neighbor say her parents' house also haunted. Her father did rituals before and he was gone for a while but came back. So when he feels them, he will just scold them and ask them to get out. Can.
So, okay, talking about this sort of, you know, doing rituals, right? So this guy in the confession, right? He took a year to get rid of the ghost, right? A year of mantras and giving merit and all that, right? Do you think that's rather fast?
Fast?
For a ghost who's been hanging on stubbornly and breaking things and all that, huh?
Very fast. Like, even the Golden Mile one, the fellow is playing mantra every day. You know, the one I did, the haunted office? He's playing mantra every day and the ghost is still there. But then again, that one's a portal, so different story.
That one is multiple, that's different, right? But I feel that, I think it must be more than the ritual.
I tell you what I think, John. I'm glad you pointed this out because it was at the tip of my tongue. The tip of my tongue. He cheer for love. The old man was grumpy. He didn't have love. All he had was the house. Or maybe the person he loved, he bought the house with and he just didn't want to get out. Someone was saying that he might be kicked out by HDB. So he's this grumpy old man with no love and it's him against the world. And now that someone comes in giving compassion and merit, he's like, it's okay. He's no longer as depressed or as upset. And that lessens his power and he's ready to move on. Wow. I think it's like that. That's my para hantu logic.
That's your romantic Hollywood story.
I like it. Okay.
So next time your house is haunted, show them love. Okay. Go to the laundry now and show love to the old lady and the little girl. Okay. What do you think? What do you think, Justice? Was the old man just lacking love?
Maybe. Or maybe you got see this on the news, right? The person died in the house. Nobody found out about it after a very long time. Yeah.
So you think he was buried in the walls?
Maybe just died off there, then found out, then left alone. Nobody care about him.
But then this is not the first tenant since then. What, there have been other people, right? You know, so, but yes, I think this is the first tenant who stuck with it, right? Because he wanted to be near his parents. So he stuck with it. And because of that, he had to find a solution. And the solution was love.
All you need is love.
I would agree with Eugene only because he says it himself, right? He says that, you know, at the end of the year, he kind of missed him, right? Mm. So obviously this is a very compassionate dude, you know? And you know, who also was willing to give up his life in Perth and everything to come back to his parents, you know. So he's already in a very generous, gracious place in his life, and he was able to extend that graciousness even to the hantu, right? So to me, it's a good story. So, you know, two thumbs up to this person.
I like the last bit, lah. I mean, Carl knows how to tell a story. He goes, "Oh, I know, my number came out first prize, you know." Go buy now. No, la, never buy la.
So do let us know if this old man comes back to visit every now and
then. Ah, sweetie. No, la, don't have.
Wasted.
Okay. So, good story. I think this nicely kicks off this part of story. Well, why don't we ask Justus, our guest here, stuff. So any of you want to know anything about...
Okay, yeah. First of all, I want to ask, because he said he has an old man story.
Ah.
What is your old man story, Justus?
Okay, I bought a HDB. Ah. Recently gotten my key last year. Me and my wife, we move in.
Ah.
So it's not very... Life was not very smooth for a while. So went to find some sifu. So we managed to find one sifu in Chinatown. I went to find sifu in Chinatown.
Okay.
Went to Chinatown, go down there, make appointment and stuff. Sat down straight away, never asked party, never asked name, never asked anything.
Okay.
Straight away asked me, "Have you went for any funeral over the past 2 years, or did any of your relatives just move on?"
Right.
"You don't have it. COVID by the time."
So
I don't go to people's funeral and stuff. Like, okay, never mind. Then she just tell me off. Okay. She straight away explained to me, once you walk into your house, on your left side is a shoe rack, on the right side is a bench. And it is really a bench. And he tell me, "Take the bench, you're going to remove the bench straight away. There's an old man in your house." And I was like, a bit freaked out. Because it's like, okay, fair bit. You can say that almost everybody's house you go in, you see shoe rack, you see bench and stuff. Because the next portion that she talked about was, "Oh, your coffee table is two round coffee tables. You put it wrong direction. Please switch it around." Then talk to me about my so-called my TV console side. It's very, very messy. Just leave the plug. That's it.
Wow.
And she described to me my whole house. She never asked me anything at all.
Wow.
The only information she had was my handphone number, which I used to make appointment. That's all.
Okay.
So it was kind of freaky.
Wow. Okay. Two questions. Number one, did you post pictures of your house on your social media?
Zero.
Okay.
I don't post my house picture at all.
Number two, what's the relationship between the old man and the bench?
I have no idea. It's either
secondhand?
This is a BTO.
No, but your bench, was it secondhand?
Yeah, bench secondhand?
I just buy from Taobao. Have to make it myself. I make it myself.
Oh, assemble yourself.
Yeah. Oh. I assemble the whole thing myself. So it's like,
China man who was cutting the wood, then cut himself, died, then bleed on the wood.
Yeah.
So what do you do with the bench?
I literally brought it downstairs and threw it away. Because my wife was telling me, "You gotta throw it."
And then someone else will pick it up and then it will go into their house.
No, because the bench, when you pick it up, right, it's already a bit, because it's not very good quality.
The
whole thing can just dismantle.
Is this the house that you are in now, currently?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. Because I want to let you know that the old man is behind you.
Is it?
And
he must be very keen nowadays.
Wow. Well, how did you feel when you heard this news?
Actually, I'm quite a bit amazed about how she can describe my whole house and stuff. But about the old man, I'm like, okay. But because for myself, I always feel that if I never do anything bad to the person, technically, nothing bad will happen to me lah. Maybe it's just bad chi and stuff, but okay lah. Just after we did some offering, burn the paper money, give him food and stuff, ask him to leave, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, quite savvy, this type of dude whose response to being told that there's an old man haunting his house is, okay. But how did you do that? Okay.
Chao, there's a ghost there. Okay.
I assume that part of what makes you so savvy and cool about old men in your house is also because your training, right? Your training has changed. Okay, but before I get absorbed into the training, I want to talk about the property, right? We want to know. So tell us, do you have any exciting property-based stories or not?
Okay, this was my close colleague. They went to sell a house somewhere in the east.
Okay.
So they went over and take over the key in the evening.
Mm.
Take some photograph. So it was coming to about 7:30, 7:45 around that. They want to leave. Before they leave, because usually we will get the bearing for the door, everything. So take out the handphone, find the compass, and then check out the direction. So we checked. The first check he checked was, north facing. Good, north, south facing. Quite good. It should have a bit of wind. Good. But of course, we must double confirm. So he, off the whole program, on back, it shows south. Show south. He was a bit freaked out, what's happening? Then he said, okay, never mind. Maybe my phone got problem. So he asked his partner, come over. Hey, bro, you help me check it. And he opened the app itself. It's another direction.
Wow.
Then it's like, a bit freaky. Then okay, he said, okay, never mind. Maybe location problem. Everybody off. Open again. His one off. The other one is his partner one is a different direction. Then it's getting a bit dark already. Then they feel a bit chill. Then they say, never mind. Let's go first. And they lock the door, walk off. Then they only start doing the viewing in the afternoon. But when in the afternoon, it is north facing.
So north is correct.
North is correct.
But only in the daytime can verify. Yeah,
daytime. Then they just do a daytime. They just, anyway, most of the viewing in the daytime. evening maybe to see whether it got west or not.
Wow.
Okay. I think I know why.
Okay, come Eugene, tell us.
Because usually when there's a hantu around, right, we believe in paranormal investigation. When there's ghosts around, it screws up with the electromagnetic field. And you know, this is a compass, right? It will it means if there's a ghost present, that's why your compass is screwing up.
No lah, but it was a phone. They were both using phones, right? Yeah. Justice?
Yeah. Using phones.
Phones are not magnetic.
How does that work? I mean, for the phone.
Phones are not magnetic. They're using your global positioning.
Yeah. GPS.
Same as GPS. So unless you are saying that the GPS also screwing up.
Or maybe just technology lah. Technology glitch when ghosts are around.
Was it because one was a iPhone and one was an Android or not?
Both Apple.
Both Apple.
Ah, no.
Oh dear.
Let my Apple down.
Doesn't speak well for Apple. Okay. Wow, but that's fascinating. I mean, it's such a simple little idea, right? That but suddenly to think that the house is like somehow spiritually spinning 180 degrees and changing direction. Wow. It's either an amazing haunting or a really, really normal kind of glitch. I don't know, man. I don't know where to categorize this.
We wouldn't want to go and find out.
Yeah.
They
didn't ask anything else. They didn't like...
No, because for us, we don't usually go and ask sellers or whoever, hey, anybody die here and stuff. It's not a common question for us to ask.
So this is the thing, right, that I suspect many of us in the chat also are very curious about, right? So what is the policy, right? You know, if let's say you feel something or you have heard something as an agent, would you go and find out for the sake of, you know, full disclosure? Or what's the policy to keep mum about everything?
As long as the seller tell us any information and the buyer ask me for any information, I must give. But if information I don't have, I won't be able to give. Simple as that. So ask, I tell. If you ask and I know, I will tell. If you ask and I don't know, I cannot tell you anything also.
But what if you, let's say you are a skeptic, you don't believe in ghosts. To you, ghosts don't exist. Then someone asks you, hey, is the place haunted? You go like, no lah, haunting, don't be crazy lah, where got ghosts? But actually, the place is haunted. How?
But how is it haunted?
Okay, so there's a difference between what you know, for example, that, the last three tenants committed suicide. Okay, that's knowledge. Versus suspicion or belief, which is there's a cold spot in this corner of the house. There are two different things, right? So would you treat them differently, right? You know, if let's say I'm buying a house, right, and I say, hey, you know, any rumors about the house? I'm not asking for knowledge. I'm not asking for crimes or deaths. I'm asking for, you know, feeling, you know. And
should be our direct back to the seller.
Wow, it's like non-committal, you know.
No, because I do not know, I never stay there. If I stay there and I found out, then I was like, actually a bit cold here, but yeah. You know, ultimately, if I say anything wrong, the seller will sue me.
Yeah.
So like, these kind of things, I don't stay there. I never experience, probably I will just pass over the seller. But if I experience, probably I won't sell my house. Uh-huh. But I'll be scared to go back also.
That's true, right?
Happened to me as well.
Yeah. Okay, so what about legally and formally, right? Is there any protocol, you know, with the ministry, you know, and all that, you know, in terms of dealing with these type of cases? Have there been situations where, like, you know, big argument between the seller and buyer because your house is haunted, you never tell me that I sue you, ask HDB to come in? And
I think there was a case on in news recently about something like that. They never disclosed. Then they make a big hoo-ha about it. But there was no conclusion about it. But it's more of a hoo-ha saying that why never disclose.
Right.
But they didn't say, was not even given the information.
Okay.
I wonder what the law is.
So Mr. David has asked, like in Japan, is it mandatory to disclose if a death had happened? Not hantu. Even without asking, which means, Justice, you have to declare, even if the person did not ask. Is this applicable to us?
We don't have to declare. You don't ask, we wouldn't know, we wouldn't tell you. For example, if this is an estate house itself, then we must tell you it's an estate house. Simple as that. These are the common things.
Right. But
of course, if you go and buy a house which is very old, then you expect it to be nothing.
Yeah.
And it belong to old folks and stuff like that. And you expect that maybe no death there. It's a bit hard. But to be honest, think about it yourself. We come to this earth and we will leave this earth. It's a natural process.
I think one of the reasons why, you mentioned Japan, right? You know, and the notion of the stigmatized apartments, right? That's the term, right? And that's also the name of the movie, right? Which was not great.
Oh, it's a terrible show.
Do check it out if you're curious, because it does highlight a very important sort of trend in Japan, right? You know, and I think one of the reasons why Japan in particular would be obsessed with this, right, is of course, death is a big thing. Right, you know, and hauntings are a very big thing, but also because the suicide rate is crazy high. So death is one thing. What kind of death? Right? If it's just normal families and, you know, old folks and all that, that's part of the natural life of a house. But someone committing suicide in your house, that's a whole other game, right? If you are Asian, you know that changes the game completely. You know, and I'm not so keen to buy that house. Right? So I think that is the reason why I think for Japan, you know, that particular sort of topic is much hotter, you know? Yeah, and I assume, like, you know, in America and all that, you know, it's far more likely that someone was shot with a gun in your house. so murder and violence, for example, right? Again, that changes the game, right? You know, what Justice said about, you know, just, you know, it's hard to find a house that no one's died in sooner or later, right? That's very true.
He can be a politician, you know?
died violently, that violently is a different thing.
I mean, what is violent? You know, then he will tell you subject. You know, this guy, I know how he thinks and how he talks. No, he's never committing to any answer.
But in Japan, there are people who purposely sell what's that called, those haunted houses.
Stigmatized apartments. It's
cheap. Some of them is even giving free. The last time I remember, there was a village that says stigmatized apartments were going for free. The local mayor or something was like asking other, not foreigners, because they don't sell it to foreigners, but Japanese from the city to come back down to the town, to these places, to take on these houses.
Wow. Okay. Would anyone out there, if there was such a thing in Singapore, would you be queuing up to sign up?
It will be Supernatural Confessions headquarters.
Okay, or it'll just be Eugene. It'll just be Eugene signing up for every house. Right. You know? It would actually. That's so cool, right? A little subdivision of HDB. HDB, HDB haunted board. No, okay, never mind.
Haunted development boards.
Yeah. Wow, so exciting.
Okay.
I wanted to share something because last week someone mentioned that during COVID, we were talking about pochong, and during COVID in Indonesia, people were dressing up as pochong to run around scaring people who were breaking curfew. Right. Another cool thing that Indonesia did was people who broke curfew were given a sentence to spend nights in a famous haunted house in their area.
I thought that was a joke, but it's real.
It's true. I saw photos with the social distancing all. So even worse, right? You're kept far apart from your fellow inmates. Well, I tell you, that's the best deterrent ever.
So,
Singapore Prisons Department, please take note. That's another thing you can do with all your old houses.
Okay, go check out Murali, Guru Murali's confession 2 weeks ago, where he said on a confession that he's from Ang Mo Kio Police, was from Ang Mo Kio Police Division. When you get a very loud, rowdy, non-compliant criminal, suspect.
Perpetrator.
They put him into that particular cell that has been known for haunting. And then some of them get strangled, some of them get scratched. Then they come out, they're very quiet. And then like, how? Everything okay? Then yes, I don't go back in. It's true. That was his first-hand experience. Ex-police from Ang Mo Kio Police Division.
Oh, man, I like that. Yeah. Okay, Ernest Doe points out that a natural death in property in Taiwan, the house is called a Xiong Zai. That's right. Hong Kong also, right? They're called Xiong Zai, right? Mm. In fact, there's a very good Hong Kong movie, the title of which I've forgotten, but it was all about the guy who was making money by flipping all these haunted houses and then hiding the fact that they were haunted.
Oh.
And then all his clients gonna. Wow, major. Okay, let me try to remember what it was. But okay, wow. Okay, so, thanks, Justice, for all that background. If you have any questions for Justice regarding housing and haunting, all right, please shoot them out, all right, and Justice will tell us what he knows. But in the meantime, I want to dig deeper. Okay, the probing continues, all right? So, you're so savvy, right? You know, you hear about ghosts in your house. Okay, right. So, tell us about your spiritual journey. Tell us about you being an ordained monk.
Okay.
I
went to Thailand. I didn't went to like Bangkok to become an ordained monk. I went up further north, Khon Kaen, Yatala. It's just small place in Thailand. So, became a monk there. So it's quite an interesting experience.
What led you to go for that?
It was something that I always wanted to do lah. Since young, just that I didn't have the opportunity. Then I have a relative who became a monk, and he was he's practicing in Thailand anyway. So contacted him, then went over lah. So became a monk in Thailand for short term lah. It's not very long, it's about 11 days only. I was there for 13 days, cause not enough time, cause working still mah. Then it was quite interesting. Experience, because when I became a monk, something happened as well.
share.
Okay, just background. Okay, we all stay in hut, like a atap house like that.
This but, was up in Khon Kaen lah, right?
Up in Khon Kaen lah. Anyway, so where most of our house, all the houses, right? Most of the monk houses is more in front.
Okay.
Before the crematorium. My hut and my relative's hut and my friend's hut, right? Three of our huts are behind. So every day we have walked past the crematorium and go back to our small hut. It's really kampong lah.
Okay.
Really kampong. So the light is really the wire hang on the those kind of pole. Right? So it's spooky lah. But anyway, every night I have to walk past there, go back to my hut, and then I try not to get out. So I remember clearly it's a Wednesday. 3 a.m. I have to wake up, morning chanting. So we walk all the way to in front, then we go and chant. After we chant, finish really, about 4:30-ish, I ran back to the hut. And because on that day, we don't have to bring our eung bowl to go outside and collect eungs. There's going to be an event in the temple. So I just go back and collect my eung bowl, walk back to the main hall, and put it there. So I said, it is my first time that I have this... I have this thing itself. So I said, hey, I need to document it as well. So I went back to my hut and want to take my handphone. Okay. Every time we walk back to my hut, there was this semi-blind dog. It's called Mi, Bear.
Okay.
In Thai, Mi is Bear in Thai. So when I walk past him, usually he'll look at you and he'll bark at you, but all you have to do is just call his name and you shut up. So when I walk back, no, it didn't even wake up. Okay, I'm going to take my phone. Then I say, don't want to waste electricity. Because right in front of my hut got one light. I off the light. I lock the door. Once I locked the door, somebody from behind me asked me, Pai Nai is go where? Oh. Around me is nothing. Behind me is a pond. So it's a pond behind. So somebody just tell me, where are you going? Oh. There's no light. I just sigh very loudly. Then I look up, and I said, no, look up, and I look straight. I turn left, walk directly, walk, and when I walk past the dog jump up, keep barking at me non-stop, and looking behind me. It's not looking at me, it's looking behind me.
Oh.
It's like, okay, then I keep screaming, me, because I was scared it attacks me and stuff. But he just don't stop barking. Then I just, okay, keep chill, faster walk up, then walk all the way back to the main hall itself, and the dog continue all the way until I walk past the crematorium.
Oh.
Then walk back to the main hall, face a bit like quite lah. But then my friend look at me, then my relative who is actually a monk also look at me, ask me everything okay. I say, I'll talk to you guys later after the whole thing.
Okay.
Because okay, but it's kind of funny because where I was is Wao Lao. That means they speak Isan, Wao Lao. So it's not Pai Nai, it's Pai Sai. It's okay. the dialect difference.
Sure.
So it's like a bit like, how come this person? Because I speak more, I speak Thai. I don't speak Isan. I just don't speak
right.
Lao itself, but I understand.
Okay.
So it's like a bit like, okay. So I wonder if it's some entity who knows I'm not local.
Wow.
Justus, is your OnlyFans account on? Because I hear the ting ting like as if people are making donations.
Oh. No, that one, sorry. That one is my WhatsApp. Because,
I know how WhatsApp sounds like. Don't sound like that. That sounds.
my OnlyFans account.
You see, because he's fully dressed from the waist up, but you know, from the waist down, OnlyFans is currently streaming.
Okay, I got some questions from people.
Yeah.
Ing Kong is asking, if buyer asks you about deaths in the house, are you as the agent obligated to go and find out and disclose?
So that's what I say. First thing first, because most of the time the seller should be in the house.
Mm.
If the seller is in the house, I'll just direct the question up to the seller. So at least I will know as well.
Okay.
Then if the person asks, then I have to tell.
Okay.
But if it's a question, we usually won't go to the house. Hi, did anybody die in the house before? We usually won't ask kind of questions.
Okay.
Usually we ask, how much should I sell your house for?
Okay, but let's say I call you as an agent, right? Then I've not seen the house, and I'm asking you, you got this house, you want me to go and see? Before I even accept the invitation to go down and see, I'm asking you, is there any deaths in the house?
Okay, then I will have to go back and ask my seller itself for this information. Then I have a black and white for my seller, then I'll tell back to you, yes, there isn't, no, there isn't not, there isn't any.
Okay, yeah. I think that answers In Chong's questions.
Daphne has Daphne is Daphne, right? Daphne.
Oh, I got Da, got space, man. It's Daphne.
Okay, fine. Daphne. Yeah, so she's asking, what about flats where the floor tiles keep popping? Please address this. Was common at some time.
No, that one is due to the construction.
Oh.
Yeah, then also because the tiles and they put two contraction and it came out as well. It's due to construction itself. It's a construction issue.
What about marbles? Right. People hearing marbles drop at night. I mean, is the rumors true that they actually find children, they behead them, and they put it in the foundation of the building to keep it safe?
You know, ask architect already.
In every single HDB flat in Singapore, how many
it's
children you
child.
Think we had?
I mean,
one child per floor per HDB flat.
Last time you had to kidnap children. Now we have a lot of abortions. Just go to abortion clinic and just take the fetus.
Our population has never been that booming. Okay. I mean, The common debunk is that it's the piping.
No lah, cannot be lah. I know
Why not?
Came out with that debunk. Eugene Toh came out with it. SPR did a research and then they dropped the marble, then they record the sound. Then it got this kind of a wave. Then they go to the toilet, then they turn on the water, then let the water drip down the pipe, then it's this kind of wave. Then they put the wave together. Wave Xiu Xiang.
It's not water. It's contraction in the piping.
Contraction.
Of course it's not water lah. We know water doesn't sound
something
like
that.
Not so literal. No.
I call bluff
because
on the research.
I tell you what doesn't come. Because so when I was young, right, in Bedok, where I stayed, right, I heard that all the time, right? And I realized that the most bizarre thing about it is it's far too loud. if even if there were marbles in the ceiling, it wouldn't be that loud. So it's way too loud. It's not coming from through my ceiling, through the cement. It's not. It's somewhere nearer than that, which makes me think it's inside the a near wall where pipes are.
Maybe the ghost playing the marble inside your wall.
John said he has never experienced haunting before. Haunting happened right in front of John's eyes, also he won't know. Marble so close to him. I think it's the piping in the wall. His lights flicker on and off with no explanation. I think it's the LED lights. Well, ghosts can come in front of you and boo you also. I think it's the wind.
I think these are very mundane hauntings. I don't know, the level too low. Sorry.
The ghost. Yeah, what's this kind of haunting? Too bad.
Yeah, sorry. If all you can level. Do is play marble there, then it's okay.
You're not impressing Jonathan enough, guy.
Yeah,
our ghost.
Okay. I'll live my life. You do you. You do you. Okay. You know? But yeah. Let us know if you know the ultimate answer to the famous marbles.
Yeah.
I tell you what's the scary thing, okay? I bet you now that there are generations of young people now, some of your kids out there, right? And Leonidas in the future, who will not even understand this haunting because they'll go, sorry, marble is what?
No, my kid, no marble. I got him marbles. He went to my bedroom last time because my mom, right? It was like, oh yeah. This is all your daddy's toy. Then he brought out all the marbles, my
So let
see this.
Wow. Okay.
this angry, yeah. This one,
Okay, so Leonidas is lucky, all right? When he see Hantu, he will know what's going on because he was properly educated. Okay.
Solid toys from the 80s, you know? Put into his hands. This one. One side have, one side don't have. He ransacked my
toys are not as sturdy as they used to be. Okay? They're not sturdy. But this is why we must pass on these traditions. This is a shameless callback to the urban legends. Okay, can you please make one episode all about the goalie?
I will cover that.
Talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. One more message from Anand Vijakuma. Hi Justice. Have you heard of any property agent who ended up getting haunted? Means like bad dreams, sightings. Or they were trying to sell a property. Maybe a message from the spirit not to sell.
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. Personally, I don't know.
Right.
I don't have. Maybe they'll be more lucky.
There was a story that you shared with us just now. Even though, you know, it's kind of dodgy ending, but you were trying to rent out an apartment to a client and then you saw something there that freaked the hell out of you.
Okay.
Because Shaolin is asking you for what happened to this agent and his selling of haunted apartments. So I thought maybe that might be something nice for Sean.
It's only selling. I was bringing tenants.
Mm.
Then to rent a place. I'm more of an Eastie now. So anyway, so I brought in there. It was 8 o'clock. Mm. So we walked to the house. Me, him, and his wife. They are both expats. Okay. So when we walk in the house, it was. The living room was dark. Then there's this grandma and the maid sitting at the balcony there. So you can make out the face and stuff. We try to say hello, hello auntie. We presume that's the landlord itself.
Mm.
Then the agent was like, didn't say anything. Then just bring us to the room itself. Position the room. But once you step in the house first, we felt a bit uneasy already. Because lights were not on. Okay, then we say, maybe you want to save electricity lah. That's why I don't want to on the light. Then we went into the room, see your room. The room is okay, a bit old. Okay, then we walk past the living room again, no light lah. Then we walk to the kitchen. The kitchen light was on. The kitchen light was actually, the tiles are green. So, but when they on the light, right, it is still very dark.
Mm.
Kind of a bit funny lah. So, then once we step out the house, straight away the wife tell me, I don't want the house. I don't want to rent the house. I don't care. Then the husband was like, oh, okay. I think the husband cannot feel anything. For me, I was like, okay. Because it's really
okay. Again.
You want to rent the house? I'm okay. Because I also felt very funny because when we usually greet the landlord or whatever it is, they will say hello or something. But it's been auntie, ma, ama, like that. So they reply, but
No lah, the armor is a ghost of the house lah. Just like the old man in this Hougang house.
No lah, that is Ariel's haunting from the laundry. Move over to your place lah. Right?
The maid also never say hello. Okay lah, then we said, okay lah, just go lah.
Interesting.
Actually, we went away after the landlord agents also quickly zao. Yeah. So, okay. I never asked him much anything much. I didn't bother about it anymore.
Actually, Justin's got another army story, but I think we'll save that for July for the NS.
Oh, yeah. Huh? Okay, again.
The NS month of all the army stories.
Make it a confession, that'll be exciting.
Justin stay near me, by the way. I can go and I go to.
Yeah, his, like anytime.
Go and see the old uncle there. And, hello, uncle.
Can I knock your door? Okay, wow. Okay. So, where are we now?
We are at 11:04. We got one more confessions to go. Well, anything else, Justice, you want to tell us for our audience to take note of about property, what to do, things that we might have asked you yet that you think is important for us?
If you want a so-called haunted house, just ask the agent, is there any haunting this house? Because nobody usually asks this question at all. People walk in, only ask for the price, the size and stuff. If you all really want to cover everything itself, Probably you ask.
Asking for prices and sizes sounds like going to Geylang, but anyway.
Our station wants to ask, is there any agents gonna suit or complain by buyer for selling them a haunted unit?
If the agent knows about it and you ask and they tell you and you continue to buy it, that's your own choice really. But
right.
If the agent doesn't know, because most of we don't stay in the house, we wouldn't usually get this kind of. We don't get a haunting itself. So
if it's an unexpected haunting, nobody asked, nobody knew, then you cannot turn around and blame the agent.
That's a get out of jail free card, Justice. You know, sometimes haunted houses, let's take the Hougang story. Everybody in the neighbors know. You tell me, I as an agent, I don't stay there, so I don't know it's a place haunted. It's a cop out. You will know.
Adrian Lim's house, passed hands so many times already.
Yeah, lah. Not haunted na. Let's go back to Hougang again, right? If such a case happened, right, and the buyer tried to sue the agent, will he have a case or not?
It's up to CEA really.
What's that?
Up to CEA.
What's CEA?
The Council of Estate Agency.
CEA, then they will
mitigate the whole thing, then they will find out the full information.
I'm curious to know whether there is actually a legal standing in court regarding a haunting, right? You know, what will our law court say to a haunting? Can they even verify that this is a thing that you can sue over? You know, you say, I dream old man tried to strangle me, why you never tell me?
It's your dream, right? How are you going to put it in court?
Talking about, right?
But how is it admissible in court?
Or my offering explode. I mean, none of these are admissible in court. It's my point, lah. It's my point. Because
you think about it yourself. Who knows? Maybe when you go out, then you by some accident, you go and step on people's offering, and they follow you home instead.
Truly a politician.
This Justice, I'm going to give a new nickname, okay? He's not Justice Ao, he's Tai Chi Ao. I will Tai Chi to the owner. I will Tai Chi to CEA. Huh? Oh, you got a ghost in house. I Tai Chi back to you. Maybe you step
it's
on something.
Tai Chi. Wow. It's me, I don't know.
First question he will ask you is, did you order anything from Taobao? Made of wood.
I got one last question for you, Justice, before I let you go and I take a break. Which is the most haunted estate in Singapore? You cannot Tai Chi this one away. I need an answer.
Haunted estate?
From your grapevine, from all your other agent talking, I'm sure you know. This thing, I know what you're talking about. Which is the most haunted estate in Singapore?
Probably going to find the oldest estate now.
Oldest is Toa Payoh. No.
I got an answer from the police friend actually.
What's Justice one first?
What's
yours?
I cannot say such thing because I do not know.
Such a politically correct.
You must understand, if I say really, then what? That means all the houses there cannot sell.
No, because you know he still has a job to protect. I tell you, after this goes offline, I'm like, guys, are we offline now? Okay, I tell you where is it? Come on.
He can't even tell you whether it's north, south, east, west. Because he is... the compass not working.
Compass not working, right? That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Before I let you go...
Tell us what your police friend said.
Okay, so, Justice, you cannot pretend in Tai Chi you don't know. I'm telling you, okay? Live on air.
Cover your ears, Justice.
According to a reliable police contact I have, because I did a police episode, right? And I asked the same question, which is the most haunted. I thought it would be Yishun. I thought it would be Toa Payoh. And I was very convinced it was going to be Tampines. He says, no. The highest complaints and reports about haunting comes from Circuit Road.
Okay lah, it's very old. It's very old. It's very old. And because of the way it's built, all the hantus cannot get out. Because last time I went there, I also didn't know how to get out.
There you go. Justice, now you know. Next time your client asks you, hey Justice, which is the most haunted estate that you... siao liao lah. Eugene, why you tell me this kind of thing?
What's first I have to say already. Since I have information, I must say.
According to
Supernatural Confessions.
According to Eugene Day.
The authority on Supernatural in Singapore and Southeast Asia, and some say, you know, US.
All right. I think we need to do a Circuit Road episode one day. Okay. Anyone out there who knows Circuit Road stories, please contact Eugene. Okay.
All right. Okay. Justice, thank you very much. You can.
Thank you so much.
Tell me the real answer later when we offline. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Woo! Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you laugh, I get into trouble. Oh, John is just back to us again now.
Wow, okay. I'm listening for like marbles all now, okay?
Hey, someone was saying, you said that you hear marbles in your room. Water pipe don't go under the floor of the bedroom. And then G also said water pipes are not laid within the floor slab in HDB. So you hear marbles dropping within.
No, then that's where the sound, that's not where the sound is coming from. It's where the sound resonates from. This is the thing, right? There are gaps. We know, right? There are gaps in the floor, because that's where you assume that the children are playing marbles. Right? There are gaps in the, and those gaps are echoing the sound. So where the sound's coming from, I don't know also. But it's clearly resonating because it's like a speaker, right? You know? Okay, but anyway, thank you, Elaine.
thank you,
Elaine, for your donation. Okay? No resolution here. Okay?
Wang Shooting Ariel says, I used to stay over at my late grandma's house over the weekend. One night at 10 p.m., sure can hear people pulling furniture. I didn't let the adult know until one day I was curious.
But pulling furniture is also quite often, quite common lah. I'm also pulling furniture in the middle of the night one.
There's ghosts in your house trying to get your attention for so many years and then you just rubbish
them. I am the ghost scaring my neighbors. I'm awake in the middle of the night and I'm moving furniture. So sorry, neighbors, I'm your ghost. Oh, okay, man. I think we are all each other's ghosts.
Oh man.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I think we come to the final confession.
My favorite confession.
I think this one I need to sing a song.
Oh no, okay, a song.
Yeah, because this one, the title, I came up with it and I was quite proud.
All right. But do what you need to do.
You're riding in my car. Doom, 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 doom. I turn on the radio. I'm pulling you closer. You keep telling me no. You say you don't like it, but I know you are a liar. 'Cause when we kiss, ooh, fire, woo.
Oh man, if I heard that in the night, I'll be sure it's a haunting. All right. My husband and I got our BTO flat in Punggol in 2018. We tried 3 other times before, but didn't get it. But the 4th time, our queue number was really low, under 100. So pretty much, we could get any unit we wanted. So my hubby and I chose the 2nd highest floor with the sea view. What we didn't realize was that our sea view is more like an industrial view. Across the sea was Johor, Pasir Gudang area. I think there's a huge oil refinery there because every evening fire will burn from the top of a tall chimney and it can be seen directly from our windows. Okay lah, but this is still better than facing the car park or the trees. My husband and I had been dating almost 10 years before we got married and collected our keys. And in the last 3 years, we had been living together already in a rented studio apartment. I would describe our relationship as stable and perhaps even boring. But boring is good. I've been in dramatic relationships when I was younger, but now in my 30s, I prefer the stability and predictability. My husband and I almost never fought at all. He's the tidak apa kind of guy, and I'm a submissive wife. We were one of the chillest couples I know. Ever since we moved in, we started fighting and arguing over the smallest things. My in-laws and my parents said to be patient and that it's normal for newlyweds with their own homes to be short-fused because of the stress of moving to a new place. I'm okay outside, but once I'm at home, I get very annoyed. In June the following year, we went for our honeymoon to Italy for over a month, and there were absolutely no arguments at all. We were back to our usual selves. But the minute we got home, we started arguing about something simple, like why either of us left the suitcase by the door instead of bringing it in. I remember this incident clearly because I wanted to divorce him on the spot. Now thinking back, divorce over where to put a suitcase? What was I thinking? Sounds silly, right? I tell you, it's the house. It just gets weirder from there. There were many times I felt that we weren't alone at home. I didn't mention this. We have a 4-room apartment and no kids, so there's ample space for both my husband and I to have 1 room each for ourselves. Sometimes when I'm doing work on my computer in my room, I can feel someone in there with me. And like I mentioned earlier, the light from the furnace in the Pasir Gudang area can be seen clearly from our rooms. And with my room lights off, the whole room will be bathed in an eerie red glow. One time, I felt like there was something in the corner, and I kept staring at it. And then the shadow moved. It moved, casually walked along the wall and through my closed door. I stayed in my seat, stunned at what I had seen. The first time I experienced that was in August because it was around the National Day week. That was just the first of many occurrences. The sighting of the moving shadows just got more frequent, almost once a week, and there wasn't any pattern to it. At first, I kept these sightings to myself because I didn't want to blow it out of proportion. And also, if I started speaking to my husband at home, he and I would just end up fighting. So when at home, we just kept to ourselves to avoid quarrels. But one day, I tabole tahan. And when we were out for dinner, I told him the things we had seen and I had seen the past few months. To my surprise, he also started opening up that he had been seeing things. In fact, for him, he even had his things disappearing and reappearing elsewhere. And there was no one else around at home. I was out at work during that time. We asked around our friends and colleagues for anyone who might know of someone that could help take a look at our place. We considered seeking help from an ustaz, but considering that my husband and I are both not staunch Muslims, we didn't want to call an ustaz down in case we got nagged at. Eventually, we accepted help from a cousin of one of my colleagues who is a practicing spiritualist. I was told she is sensitive to such things and can communicate with energy. She doesn't charge. I think that for us was the selling point. We didn't know who to trust and we didn't want to get conned. So we invited her over on a Saturday afternoon. She used the living room table to set up her little crystal altar. She walked around the house with a pendulum and occasionally swapping them for dowsing rods. After she was done, she sat us down together for a chat. In the first 5 minutes of our conversation, my husband and I were sold. We had come into this meeting with a healthy dose of skepticism. We wanted to hear what an expert would have to say about our place, but at the same time, we weren't wholly 100% going to believe every word. Does that make sense? We were curious, but we weren't naive. Not even sure how to describe it properly. But anyway,
the first statement she said to us was, "Your house has a lot of fire." In the first few minutes, the spiritualist was able to pinpoint exact positions where the shadows would originate from and at which parts of the house we would fight. I wasn't even aware that there were specific parts. I knew we found all over the, we fought all over the place, but for her to describe how each of us felt, I thought that was a level of accuracy I wasn't expecting. And what made me believe her is that she didn't ask us any questions. She was telling us all of this without prior knowledge. So apparently, our home is very hot. There's lots of fire element, and the element in our home is of wood. My husband and I are both water and wind. So the overwhelming fire meant that our energy was being eaten up by the house. And this home has now become a portal for entities to travel between worlds freely. Apparently, they don't mean us harm. We were just in their way. We asked for solutions. Of course we did, because I'm not okay with my house becoming a playground for these fire spirits or whatever it is. By this point, my hubby and I are convinced that the spiritualist is not a con artist, and we felt comfortable telling her our experiences. She advised us to put some water feature around the house, add plants for earth, and to change the color of our rooms so that the energy pattern will change. For our bedroom, we need to leave the blinds down at all times to prevent the light from the fire to come in. I tried to give her some money for her time and transport, but she wouldn't accept it. I insisted she take something, and reluctantly, she agreed to tapau the Bengawan Solo Kuih Kuih I had bought for the consultation session, which no one had touched. That very weekend, we took her advice and went to get the items required and set them up. Immediately, we felt a change in the mood. There were no more fights in the house after that, and no more shadow people running around. When I asked the spiritualist about the shadow people coming out of the portal and where they are, she replied that they're probably around the block looking for places to stay. So, Eugene, if you receive any confessions from Punggol about shadow people, you now know where they came from. The good news is, the portal is closed.
I love this confession as well. There's so many confessions I had to really curate, you know, and bring you two of the ones that I really enjoyed first. There would definitely be more house stories, and I think someone even asked about a Bukit Timah story. There's one, but now may not have time. If I have time later, I might give you a quick cliff notes about that one. But I think it deserves to be written out. Because it's
patula. We'll save it up for
that one. Major because they, you know, to solve it, they have to tear the whole house down. That sort of is in the foundation of it.
Nice.
So stay tuned for that one. We'll have a part two of housing stories. Okay.
Wow. So what do you guys think about this house of fire?
So again, it's not just new. Someone's asking also, is it true that only old houses have ghosts and new houses don't? No. In fact, I have calls from people who live at BTO and they have hauntings. So it's not just old houses. But why there's more old house stories? Because there are more old houses than new BTOs.
New houses. Although that may change soon at the rate at which we're building. You know. But also, new houses can easily be haunted because there are no other spirits in them. Right? So if you are wandering and looking for a place, then new houses are very tempting. Right?
This
it's
came
like
from
PTO for the ghosts.
Yeah, this came from Justice. Justice was a lot more vocal off camera when I met him. He says, if you get a chance, don't get the houses from first floor to the fifth floor, because they are building up the flats and everything, first to fifth are used for storage, for sleeping, for a lot of things, and this may bring in. It's not new, you know. There may be fires, there may be imprints of energy in the walls or whatever that you bring in. It's basically a used location. And if so he was going with that. You know how Justice doesn't want to commit to any answer? But what he's trying to say, because there was another story that involved not a haunting, but a death. Mm. There was a death during a construction work, and you won't know. Right? So if you move into between floor 1 to 5, there is a chance that there could have been some history to that place already.
I'm a bit dubious about that because there's an equal chance that people can die during construction on any floor.
Yala, right?
And people can fight on any floor, you know? Yeah. So hard to say. Maybe I'm being defensive because I'm on the fourth floor.
Oh, that's... John, more and more tonight, I begin to learn that your place is definitely haunted. No, at first, I was like 20% convinced. Now, like tonight, I'm 70% convinced your place is haunted.
Rubbish. Okay. Never mind. I have two cats. They protect me. Okay. So, what do you guys think? I mean, I'm first of all fascinated because I'm assuming this was a Malay couple.
Yeah.
Right? Not staunch Muslim, but a Malay couple. You know, but they are relying very heavily on a very Western spiritualism. Actually, no, not really. Almost
holistic lah.
Okay, which is and a little bit Chinese as well, because they're talking about the elements in a very, very Chinese way.
Yeah, so
where the holistic folks got it from is also from the Chinese.
Correct. I would say straight up, I listen to this is feng shui, except that I don't think the guy came in with the pa kwa thing.
Yeah, but rather with the dowsing rods and the crystals. So it's Western, but it's Western with a slight sort of hint of Chinese elemental.
Yeah.
Beliefs, right? So it's quite interesting how the different cultures overlap, right? And this, I assume, is quite a modern and young Malay couple, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. So it's quite... I'll be interested to see whether the Ustaz has a totally different answer, because, you know, if it's fire and all that, then the Ustaz will be saying it's jinn, right? Eugene will be much happier.
Donnie right? Darwin was saying, thinking of how Eugene thinks, it could be a jinn.
Of course, it's fire, right? So all along, it's not Pasir Gudang. It's actually a jinn floating outside the window. Ooh, flaming like that, right? Okay, Donnie Darwin is saying the hands behind John might start to move. Okay, let me know if that happens, right? I'm quite oblivious because obviously, according to Eugene, yeah. I've been haunted all my life and I didn't know.
Correct. Bubble drop, la, light flicker, la, living on fourth floor. La. What else, John?
Who knows, okay? But I'm glad that this couple solved their thing. I mean, it's really quite startling, you know, that over such a long time, they were able to verify, right, that you know, they're okay to talk and converse when they're outside the house. And then the moment they come home, the mood shifts. But that's really dramatic.
But think about it, that is feng shui.
Yeah, but it must be extremely intense feng shui because it's such a stark difference, right? And it started very early. It didn't like slowly build up, you know, it was like right away they moved in and that's it, you know? So it must be some... It almost feels like the first half of the story, the symptoms of the story seem to be more powerful than the solution. To me, you know, having some plants and covering the blinds is like, is that all? Because it sounds much more like there's a demon trying to make you fight and want to make sure
the husband
kills the wife with an axe. You know, it's like there's something much more venomous, you know, and more insidious going on, you know. And then some more, it becomes a portal some more. It's like, wow. So this is poltergeist territory. Yeah? They're like spirits moving through, you know. So, but then, okay, hearing the ending of it, right? I'm inclined to say, okay, it's the portal was not affecting them. It was the fire. Fire. The ghosts were just passing through. They don't care. They're not even haunting you or anything, right?
No. So it's not, you were in their way. It's like...
Like, excuse me, right? And they were not causing you to fight.
No.
You were only fighting because the energies were all just wrong, right? And... You know, and maybe someone pointed out the eye of Sauron, right? So burning outside your window and staring at you and caught, you know. But I'm wondering now, from a psychoanalytical perspective, also, whether the house was triggering something in them as a couple in that relationship, right? I mean, I don't know anything about them, right? But to say that, you know, you don't fight normally, you know, and the relationship is boring, blah, 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 right? From what I gather, right? The more boring the relationship, the more unspoken tension there is. You know, especially if you don't want to accept that it's boring. Right? So it's not to say that you're being possessed or anything, but that the energy is perhaps causing latent emotions to come out. yeah. right? Mm. That perhaps you would just keep on covering, or you know, and for the sake of working to make the marriage
just
work.
Right under the surface, and then you see this every night. This is red wall. Like even if you don't put the fire there, let's say if I paint your house
something
red,
else.
Like,
yeah,
right? I put everything angse. Because we know for a fact, scientifically and psychologically, colors affect your emotions. Colors. And that's why fast food restaurants, they put yellow and red. They make you eat faster to get away. Right? No, it's true.
Angry,
it's true.
Angry with Ronald McDonald.
No, there's a lot of energy. Yeah. So if your house is red and painted red, you would be more fiery. So in this case, every night, your whole house is radiating that red light. It's the same effect.
Yeah. So could it be, right, that what you are able to suppress when you're outside, right? Yeah. Suddenly at home becomes released.
I thought this was a very good confession to bring up, curate, and share, because I felt when I was reading a story, there was more feng shui story, energy, like what you just said, emotions, signs. But at the same time, there was this underlining layer that because of the energy, it has created a mini portal or a pathway for spirits to move in and out. So then I start to think, how do portals get created? If we talk about ley lines, so we're going to the level of ley lines and vibrations and earth tectonic and EMF, where pockets or portals start opening up. Could then this energy vibration make a crack in that space, and then where the hantu is, which is not related to their fights or anything else, gets generated? And the part where was funny was, where do these hantu go to? Right? It makes you think, right? Like, okay, nice portal is not my house, but they leave your door to go where? Your neighbor's house lah? Your house lah?
So, okay. To me, okay. My sort of final reading of this story is that I treat the portal part as a very separate thing, right? It's almost like a little add-on. You know, and I wonder, not to offend anyone, but is the portal what you are telling the couple so that you don't have to ask much more awkward questions about their relationship, right? Much easier to say, yes, there are spirits passing through and you know, it's affecting you, rather than saying you need to see a therapist, you need to examine your relationship deeply, you know, because I think there's something going on here, you know, and that's for a stranger, that's not a nice thing to say. So it's much easier to say, oh yes, it's the old lady in the corner and she's very angry and she's making
angry. They did see the shadow in the corner to begin with, right? So it's not like they didn't see that. If they didn't see that, and the clan, the spiritualist coming down and said that's what it is, then okay lah, you know. But this is, you know, like, oh, you know, I try to avoid the hard question. I'm just telling you it's a ghost. But
yeah,
this one is she saw the shadow like moving against the wall and out, and then later on she just shared it with the husband, and the husband also says he himself seen things, but for him, his things will start moving around. So I guess
possible debunk, right? With not enough information, we can't say more, right? But she mentioned that with the lights off in her room, right, and the whole room is bathed with the red light, blah blah blah, right? So that's a very unique lighting condition. First of all, it seems that she likes to work in the dark, right, or you know, in semi-darkness, right, which means that yes, shadows will form. You're asking for it. If you right, if you make your light dimmer, shadows will form. The fact that the far away Pasir Gudang can light your whole room red color means that, you know, the lighting conditions there are very unusual. Right? So anything going on outside will cause shadows. Yeah. Okay. A bird flying past or whatever, you know, passing traffic. I don't know, right? That's one. Number two, of course, is the husband losing and, you know, picking up things, right? And but that also is a very common psychological thing, right? We just forget where we put things, you know? And I think if you're distracted, if you're unfocused, if you're, you know, emotionally, tense, you know, memory is the first thing that gets affected, right? So to me, they are not the same kind of like your offerings exploded in front of your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Not psychological. these both can be psychological, but given their already suspicious mood, right, regarding the house and all that, I think, you know, it's quite possible that they, in fact, even as a tenant in that house, I will want to seek a supernatural answer.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah, the real answer is probably much, much, much more disturbing. Mm. You know? So I don't know. But I'm very fascinated by the story. You know, I'm very fascinated by this portal.
Yeah.
Portal from Pasir Kudang, right? You know, and I'm very I'm wondering whether was it the lights of Sinoko, but I don't know my geography well enough.
No, Sinoko is bottom left side of Singapore. This is north side.
Oh, okay. It's the north. Yeah, yeah.
Sinoko and Gandang quite far.
Because from my kitchen last time when I was in Clementi, I could always see Sinoko.
Yeah, bottom left. La. Last time Jurong also can see. Yeah. This is Punggol. Hey, your geography.
Okay. So Pasir Kudang is dangerous. Okay, Sinoko is okay.
Imagine this is Singapore, right? So Woodlands, Punggol, Pasir Kudang.
Okay,
Sinoko is here. Clementi, Sinoko is here.
Yes.
So no, not Siosiang.
Okay.
Wow, very nice. Actually, I got a lot more. I would love to come up with this, but I know like next week we have something else, okay? But we'll save the stigmatized housing stories for another occasion. Yeah. Right now, I want to do a call for your support. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, if you have stories from your estate, I want to do this by estates. All right, I want to map it out. And probably I will release this by October. So it's a few months project where we will talk about it at the finale episode. Singapore's most haunted. Which estate wins the award for that?
Ayo.
So let us know. Let us know. I will want your answer. Also, once again, thank you very much to the patrons who have supported us. And if you want to be a patron and you want to get inside info, behind the scenes stories, do consider patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. And let's have fun, because I just released out the first newsletter giving our patrons behind the scenes sneak peek, my thoughts and some of the things that's coming up. It's been exactly one month since we have launched this. And I must say, John, I wake up every morning, I work about 18 hours on SC, but I cannot be happy as more fulfilling. And I'm going to see you tomorrow for the Walk with Hantu Changi.
Yay.
And while we are having our show, actually got two person just sign up. Clifton and his partner. So if you guys want to join us for the Walk with Hantu walk, there will be no other host other than John and myself, because there's a lot of personal stories, anecdotes.
Yeah.
Do join us. It's something that will not last very long until Old Changi Hospital gets turned into shopping mall or whatever it is.
Yeah, until Changi becomes too boring.
Yeah.
So take advantage of the fact that Changi is still spooky. Mm. Come and experience it. If you like spooky things, it's perfect for you. If you are slightly scared of these things, also can, because it's not that terrifying.
My kid has gone for this line. He loves it. 7 years old.
Yeah, so you can please reassure your friends. It's not horrifying. We are not out to terrify you. Mm. We are out to share stories.
Yeah. Mm. Alrighty. Any last words, John?
Wow, today has been confusing for me, because I'm facing the fact that I may have been haunted all my life. okay, I want to say, if it's a haunting, it better not be boring. That's my new motto, okay? Because so far my haunting is...
Okay, ghosts who are listening in on John, please, you must have standards.
Not a challenge.
You're not scared. You're not doing your job, okay? Your marbles and all that. You're moving your furniture. Is not cutting it.
Annoying only.
Yeah. Okay, so for me, the greatest trick that the devil has ever pulled is to convince John that minor haunting doesn't exist. Go check out the featured confession on our YouTube channel. This one is by Homeless Riz. He's a Singapore pro wrestler. And that guy is so badass on the ring, but he says there are three occasions that he was scared, in his own words, that the balls goes up to his throat. So check that out on our YouTube channel right now. Featured confession. Go, I'll see you guys there. For Friday Night Live, good night. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.